I was away in a course last week, and you know how you tell stories of what you did when you were younger, and there's all sorts of mischief you can get up to. And one of the guys I was with, one of his best mischiefs was he had a Catholic friend who lived next door, and they were really good friends. And they just learned at school that if you mix potassium permanganate and water and put your finger in it, it'll come out brown. And they had a wonderful idea. So they snuck into the back of the service at one of the masses, and they tipped it into the holy water at the door. And then everybody came out, put some on their forehead, and they were hiding in the bushes, killing themselves with laughter. And the Catholic friend felt really guilty about it, and he thought, well, I can go to confession, and nobody ever tells at confession what you've done, so they'll say a few Our Fathers. So he went to confession, and the priest said, and who was with you? And he said, it was my friend in the bushes outside. And he sort of came out of the confessional, and he got him, and he got the other boy, gave them both a leather ring, and then took my friend back to his house. His dad gave him a leather ring as well. And some of the things that we learn when we're young, it can be a lesson, let's call it, makes us wiser. But my friend had a really loving father, and he might have given him a leather ring in public, but that didn't stop him loving him. And I can just imagine him and his wife when they went out to bed at night and the laughter coming from their bedroom. Some of the things in life, when we look back on them, they don't make us smile, do they? And they're much more difficult. And this morning, as we prepare to take communion, I want to look at there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And I'd like this promise to sink really deep into our hearts. This is from really deep, because it is a promise that we need to hold on to. And I'm just going to read to you, and you can follow on the screen. And it's just 1-3 in Romans 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. And we ask, first of all, I thought, what is condemnation? I've got a little slide which will show you what this says. And the expression of strong disapproval or criticism, or to say someone's guilty. And the action of sentencing someone to punishment. And however, our Bible tells us there's no condemnation for those that belong to Christ. But somehow, when you look at the world, it's into condemnation, isn't it? In quite a big way. It's said that from our childhood, that words are poured into us, and it's like molten metal being poured into a mold, and that mold sets, and somehow it becomes part of our natures. And many of us have suffered wounds that have been spoken over us at school, people close to you, your enemies sometimes, and it can be easy to lose confidence in who God called you to be. And before we knew Jesus, our thought patterns were based on the words and ideas of other people rather than on the Word of God. And when we came to know Jesus, he gave us new ways of thinking. He wants to renew our minds and give us new ways of thinking about ourselves, not how the world sees us, but how he sees us. Now, some people might not like it when you become a Christian and you become a nicer person or a different person. Even in families, some of you will find that life isn't quite as easy in your family once you become a Christian. You know, you think, I'm becoming a nicer person and I'm trying to be reconciled and that kind of thing. It's not always easy for you. And you agree that slagging off and gossiping is part of our culture. You know, when you meet with somebody, talking about somebody else is part of what we do. Yeah? So, you know, it's part of what we do. And sometimes it can be kind and sometimes it can be unkind. It's not just a teenage thing, is it? And what about the litigation culture? Someone else is to blame. I'm not. You know, I was made like this. Facebook, trying to get a lot of likes, you know, especially the younger generation, but us older generation likes as well. And the biblical views are not always in line with social norms. And sometimes if you're a Christian, people might see that you are somebody who disapproves, somebody who you might link to things that you hear on the news about people who've used their position to abuse others, or that you're just narrow-minded. And there's more of a tendency for Christian norms in society to be done away with because of different lifestyles. So there can be condemnation and blame from the culture around about us as well. But what does Romans 8 say in response to this? And I'm going to read another little bit. If you just read Romans 8 through about five times, this would be the sermon done already. But I'm going to read little bits from Romans. So the next little bit, John. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you and me as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. And sometimes things that were said about him and to him were quite condemning, you must agree. But he knew who he was. So our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit and our spirit are joined, and we can call him Abba, Daddy. We do sin, but just like that naughty boy in the story, we do bad things and we do silly things. And there are consequences often for our wrongdoing, like the boy got a good leathering and decided he wouldn't be doing it again. But his dad didn't reject him because he had made mistakes, he had failed. It wasn't rejection. His dad loved him dearly as a son and just helped him to be wiser. Now, I think God does that with me too. And I sometimes need to confess and let wise people who love me enough to make me make good decisions. And I know most of you here have faith, but if anyone here doesn't have a faith, there is an Abba Daddy who is there for you. And if you come before him, confess your sins. He's faithful and just, it says in 1 John 1:9, to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can be free from condemnation. Is anyone here good at condemning themselves? Thank you, John. We're condemning ourselves. We've all got past and present failures. We've all got past and present failures. But this is a typical Christian, I would say, me included. Typical Christian. I am very willing. I promise to do better next week. I will read my Bible more regularly. I will pray more. I will watch my tongue. I will right? And I think it's everybody here would have those ways that you'd always think, I could do better. I could do better. I want to change my bad habits. I'll not keep on with negative thinking. It's still a struggle with my addictions and failures. And then there's the regrets of life. You look back and you think, could I have done differently? Could I have made wise choices, wiser choices? Yeah, these things troubled Paul as well. And he wrote, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things. This is someone like Paul. Or have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. I went to a conference with Light and Life, and they got a really good speaker, a lady called Isabel Allen, and she's incredibly prophetic, and she was talking about this condemnation, and she said one lady came up to her after a conference for prayer, and she looked so fearful and scared. And Isabel said, what's the matter with you? She said, you can see where I've been. You can see all these bad things that I've done, this place that I've been, my past life. And Isabel was able to say, no, I can only see a white sheet. And that woman went away absolutely filled with joy because Isabel could only see her blank sheet. And that's all that God was showing her. And I think it's often like that for us. We look back at our stuff, but God sees a blank sheet. We don't get away with no consequences at all, but there's a blank sheet. And then John, oh, this is no fishing, that last one, by the way, because we can go fishing, can't we, for all the things in the past. And God says, no fishing, don't go there. And I'd like to suggest, too, that the evil one could have a wonderful time condemning us. But the other name for the evil one is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. I'm using NIV. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before God day and night has been held down. Now, if you go through the Bible stories, not just Job, but other characters in the Bible, the accuser tries to paralyze them, and he'll try and paralyze us too. And there'll be the whisper in one ear, and then telling you the other thing in the other ear. So, reminder, accusation, reminder, accusation. And I think our only defense is, yeah, that's true. I was like that in the past. But Jesus has taken my condemnation at the cross, and I can walk free. I will not partner with you, and I fix my eyes on Jesus. And I think we often have to do that in our lives. So what else does Romans 8 tell us about this condemnation? Thanks, John. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from God's love? And I want you just to sort of maybe close your eyes, and I'm going to read something just contemplative to you, and then Greg's going to come out while I'm doing that, and he's just going to sing over you. So just think about no condemnation. What this communion really means for each one of us. Let's just rest in God's presence. Mistakes. What mistakes are you referring to? I forgave and forgot them as soon as you asked. So I've no idea what you're talking about. I have extended my grace to you. You simply learn what not to do with my help. Don't give up. Don't stop moving forward. Do not let those things from yesterday become stumbling blocks in your faith and in your path. Forget the former things. See, I am doing a new thing. Confess. Forgive yourself and others. And press forward to take hold of that for which I've taken hold of you. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear and tell you you're not good enough. You have done something so wicked it cannot be forgiven. That is a lie. Learn from those things and move forward with fresh determination and passion, knowing that he who has been forgiven much will love much. Come to the table today, thankful for the freedom he bought you at great cost. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus.